The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, September 11, 2016, broadcasting live from the studios of WGBB, 1240 a.m. in West Babylon, New York. Gary Harding and John Sweeney here for the next 2 hours tonight. Brian Graves, of course, on the other side of the glass. And we're going to be talking a lot of sports going on today. Boy, this is like, this is the cornucopia time of the year, man. This is when everything's going on.
Got the Mets winning big today.
Oh, huge win.
Giants pull out a squeaker at the end. And the Jets, what do? Lose again.
It's very unfortunate. I really thought they were going to pull something out there, but the quarterback's name? He had 365. Dalton had 365 yards in passing.
Going back to the Jets, have to win. They have 8 home games. They have to win these games, and they have to win the division, especially now that Brady's out.
This is where you have to take advantage.
Take advantage of those 4 games. They win. New England is like guaranteed to win that division every year. This year, Brady not playing is our chance to jump ahead. And today is the opportunity. They have to, if they want to go to the Super Bowl or make a deep run in the playoffs, they have to win these kind of games.
And again,
home opener.
And then look at the Jets now. As 3 days later, they're going to have to go into the
Buffalo.
Into Buffalo and play against Rex Ryan, who loves to
swept them last year.
Exactly. Swept them. They've won 5 straight against the Jets.
Yeah.
Going back to 3 years ago. So that this is the time that they, you would have liked to seen them come out 2-0, but. Forte had a nice day. I think he went for 150 all-purpose yards. He looked like the player you expect him to be, getting him from the Chicago Bears. So
that's what we want. As long as he can stay healthy, he'll be doing good. The Jets' secondary was a little weak today, what I was seeing. But before we go any further, I just want to bring up something. Because you know what today? Today is a very sad day.
Very somber day. Absolutely.
Yeah. September, I still cannot believe it is 15 years later for September 11th, how fast that time went by. And
Now, now I know you were foreign police. Were you in the city at that time?
No, I was working. Yes, I was. I was working in Midtown South precinct in Times Square. I was a police officer, a cop in Times Square. And I was off that day, but I went in. I was in the next day.
Right.
I was flying down there. It's just you think about maybe you could have been, I could have been there and helped somebody, but it's just bad. And I have friends now that have passed away due to cancer for after this stuff. So it's still lingering on.
Yeah,
on.
My brother-in-law, actually, who now lives in Texas, was actually here today for 9/11. He was a fireman in 283 in Brooklyn. And he spent, I know, at least the first 6 full days after 9/11, he was down there. Almost the whole time, 24 hours a day for every day. And he ended up, obviously, years later, retiring because of he's got some issues as a result. He's not, thank God, unfortunately not like his fellow brothers that, succumbed to cancer and all the other injuries as a result of being up there. But, he's not a healthy man. And, those guys gave so much of themselves, of their time and, to find anything they could find, you just can't wish that on anybody or anything, It was one of the worst days of my life, and I'll give you a little story on it. It's weird how I found out about it. Now, I was working at the time right outside LaGuardia Airport, right across the street, and I was in my office early, and turned out there was I was on a conference call or whatever. My door was closed, and the conference call had ended, and all of a sudden I see a phone number come up on my screen, and I see an 01144, which is Great Britain.
Yeah.
So I'm like, who's calling? And I happen to know it was my good friends that I've met from hockey and all that and in England and stuff. And she happened to call me, and she says, Gary, she goes, I know you work in New York. She goes, you don't work in Manhattan, do you? And I was like, I said, no. I said, I work in Queens by LaGuardia Airport. I said, I'm about 20 minutes in from Manhattan. She goes, do you know what happened? And I'm like, I said, no, I've been in meetings. What's going on? And she goes, they said a plane hit the World Trade Center. And I'm like, get out of here. So I quickly hung up the phone and I ran out to my office, and where my office was, it's right along the Grand Central Parkway, and you can see right into Lower Manhattan.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you can see, I saw the towers burning. I'm like, I never thought I would expect to see anything like that in my lifetime.
Never in mine either. And I couldn't imagine. At first, I couldn't believe that they were actually big jets that went into it. It looked like they were small planes going into that. Let's just hope to God it never happens again.
Exactly. And now just circle back. Obviously, we all know the story. 12 days later, 11 days later, the Mets played their first game back. Happened to be on the road at that time, which was almost convenient. But they came back and they played the Atlanta Braves, obviously, and we all know what happened, the ceremony before the game, and the guys coming out and basically hugging each other in the middle of, middle of the diamond, which was a very surreal moment, especially we all know the history of the Mets and the Braves at the time, heated rivals and all that. And of course, that home run to end all home runs with Mike Piazza.
Oh, yeah.
And very ironic that on the 15-year anniversary, the Mets are playing the Atlanta Braves again. Unfortunately, though, for the Braves, it's the last time the Mets will ever play the Atlanta Braves at Turner Field. Right. And of course, they did a nice ceremony before the game. I did happen to watch a little bit of that, and they basically did the hug again, on the mound and in the infield. And I thought it was a very classy gesture. And then Mr. Cespedes hit a nice little grand slam home run, part of a big barrage. 10-2 win.
Big win.
Coupled with that Cardinal loss, Milwaukee beat them 2-1. The Mets are back into that number 2 wild card and only a half game behind the San Francisco Giants, the number 1 wild card.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. Now we're not Yankee fans, but 3 weeks ago when the Mets played the Yankees, they were both seriously in despair.
The Mets are the hottest team in baseball in the last month.
But the Yankees aren't far behind. I mean, they've won 7 in a row too.
With these kids, they bring up the kid Judge, Austin,
Sanchez.
Gary Sanchez has been on fire. The guy keeps playing like this, he would have won the MVP if he would have started him again.
Did you see what he did yesterday?
He's insane.
When they were trying to intentionally walk him. Then the Tampa pitcher threw it in front of the plate and he smoked it.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting a sacrifice fly out of the deal.
It was fantastic.
I thought you always see that in like the movie Major League or something. Yeah. You don't expect it.
Well, this is what's great about sports. I mean, we're sports fans and we grew up with these things. When a tragedy happens, something devastating, you have your 2.5, 3 hours to just
To get away.
And get away from reality a little bit, and they'll never be forgotten of what happened. It's been devastating. We've all lost family and friends. And it's just sad. I consider all the cops and all the firemen my brothers. So
of course,
just,
exactly.
But the baseball, like with the Mets, and it takes you away from the sorrow that actually happened.
At that time, actually, on September 11th, Claire, my wife, was supposed to head up to, at the time, the Islanders were having their training camp up in Lake Placid, and she was trying to get, out of New York, and obviously couldn't. They had to wait another day to get out, but, those are the things, at this time of year, again, as we were talking about, baseball's in its pennant run, we got 3 weeks to the end of the season. Week one of the NFL is starting, of course, all the excitement. You got the second week of college football and some great freaking games in the last couple of weeks. I mean, outstanding college football going on.
Another couple of weeks, hockey will be going.
We had the World Cup starting.
World Cup starting right now.
The preseason. Have you watched any of the preseason games?
No, I know
the two Canada-U.S. games. My God, it was like Game 6 of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Really?
They were beating the living daylights out of each other. Kessler gets a game misconduct for a boarding hit on. I'm trying to think of who might have been Shea Weber. I'm not sure, but he really. He went nuts. I mean, this was not an exhibition game by any stretch of the imagination. And I can imagine what it's going to be like starting Saturday when they start this World Cup.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I know a lot got lit up a little bit.
The under 20, that's the team that's going to scare everybody. That under 23 team.
Yeah.
They are fast. They are loose. And they have no fear at all. And they don't fear any team in this tournament. And Canada and the U.S. better be ready for them. Because they're gonna definitely be a problem. But let's talk about, again, just what we're going to do over the next hour and 50 minutes of Sports Talk 1240. We're going to basically talk more about what's going on in the world of sports for the next hour or so until about 9 o'clock. And a little after 9, we are going to have Doug Waite, the assistant general manager and the co-coach of the New York Islanders, come in and talk about training camp. We were supposed to have Gar Snow, but unfortunately he was unable to make it. So he's going to have to owe me big time. And but we got Doug in his place, and Doug's a great guy, so he'll give us a little bit of a insight into what they're expecting, what's going on, what they think of all the moves that they've made, and again talk to what he said to Andrew Ladd to make Andrew Ladd want to become a New York Islander. We're going to try to get the scoop on that. That should be interesting.
That's going to be fantastic.
Yep. And at 9:30, our old friend, and I can say that with John here, is our old friend Jigs McDonald will be joining us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Al Arbor service that happened last week over at the Northwell Rink, and we'll get a little thoughts from him, being he's up north of the border right now, on what they're thinking about, especially the World Cup of Hockey coming on next week.
And very exciting, very exciting.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. But again, let's get back to the Met situation again. 10-2 today.
Big win.
Lugo, what a surprise. I mean, when we saw everybody going down. All right, when we saw DeGrom going down, when we saw Mats going down, when we saw, obviously, Harvey going down.
You just lost three major guys on your pitching staff right there.
You know,
and they're bouncing back.
Didn't it just remind you of Generation K all over again?
Yeah.
You know, Isringhausen going down, Pulsar with the arm trouble and all the surgeries he had, Wilson, all his trouble. It looked like it was deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would once say. But sure enough, Gazelman comes in. You know, he hasn't been lights out, but he's done admirably well, getting six innings in every outing he's pitched. And Lugo has been amazing. I mean, nothing, no big, huge stuff. I mean, he's a big kid.
Yeah, big guy.
But he doesn't throw big stuff. I think his fastball is only in the low 90s, but he places his pitches well. To me, he's a bigger, younger version of basically Bartolo Colon right now.
Colon,
he's placing his pitches well.
Yeah.
And
Colon had a good outing the other day, too.
He's amazing.
Week, he had two starts this week. He won his first start, and he had a good outing the other day. He went to extra innings.
Yeah. Yesterday. He should have had his 14th win.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
you would think it. Look at this guy. Look at him. Look at these. You think this guy's going to have 14 wins this year?
Yeah.
Was he 40 years old?
40? No, he'll be 44.
44. Who even knows if he's even that?
No, they've got that figured out. No, it's not a...
Who knows?
It's not one of those situations. But he's... not only is he pitching all these, but he's getting six, seven innings every single outing.
Yeah, that's what
you know
want.
What you're going to get with
innings,
him.
Right, exactly.
You know what you're going to get with him, and if you get an extra hit from him, it's a big bonus.
You get to the ninth inning with us, for me, it's locked. It's a lock. It's a lock save. Lock save.
Exactly.
He just blows nothing, that guy. That guy came out of nowhere. He really did come out of nowhere as a closer. He'd have got suspended, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, he was expecting to go to the bullpen once Wheeler came back.
Yeah.
And, of course, Wheeler had two setbacks. He's not coming back for the rest of the season.
There's another one we're missing.
So, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, really, if the Mets are healthy, they have the best pitching staff in baseball.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, unfortunately, I thought San Francisco was behind, but they ended up winning. So San Francisco's a game and a half ahead of the Mets in the wild card. The Cardinals are a half game back. Basically, they're a half game back because they played one less game than the Mets have.
Right.
So that's the situation. But looking down, now Miami's 5 back, Pittsburgh 6 back, Colorado 7 back. So basically, right now they control their own destiny.
So look
at the schedule. Other than Washington, look at the schedule they've got. They've got Philly again, they've got Atlanta again, and they've got Minnesota coming up next weekend.
There's no reason why they shouldn't
absolutely not
make the wild card.
And the great part of it is, they you know, even the kids, all these kids that are coming up are producing and helping. Did you realize? I didn't realize it until today when I heard Gary Cohen say this, that in AAA Las Vegas, Nimmo or TJ Rivera, Nimmo, and the other kids, Cicilline or whatever, they were 1, 2, 3 in batting in the PCL.
Oh yeah.
Top three.
That's
insane. Crazy.
We're stacked. We are stacked. And here you go. I'm just bringing this in, just out of the blue. I'm grabbing this in for a little Tim Tebow. Talk for a minute.
Oh no, here we go.
Well, you got to say this though. Look, this kid must have been when he growing up. He must have been a phenomenal athlete. He hasn't played baseball since apparently high school.
Yeah.
And then he goes out, and now the Mets sign him. I know it's a publicity thing, but
I think it's part publicity and part I think...
Well, maybe they might get... You know,
well, again, you know, Tebow's a religious guy. So is Sandy Alderson. So, you know, he may be going on that angle. And that, you know what? That's fine. That is totally fine. He's going in the instructional league. It doesn't mean he's going to be playing with the big club anytime soon.
Of course not.
You know, I mean, look at the prior stories. I mean, you know, Michael Jordan only made it the double A ball and hit 200 at that.
Like Bo Jackson,
Deion Sanders, those are Brian Jordan. Right. Those are three guys that were able to do it at the same time.
Because Deion won a World Series with Atlanta, right?
That's right.
And then he's won, what did San Fran, Dallas, and somebody else. I think he won championships with those. I know Dallas, San Fran, he won.
I only remember the two, but the point of the matter is he did both.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson was a freak of nature.
Freak of nature.
I mean,
I still remember that All-Star. Remember that All-Star game?
When he climbed up the fence?
No, he hit the home run, the dead center.
Oh, yes, right. But I'm thinking the other ones where he's climbing up the fence.
Oh, he's insane.
A la Ken Griffey. You know, I mean, there are a few athletes that can do things like that, but you could see Tim Tebow, regardless of what you care about him, whether he was a good football player or not, whether he was overrated or not, you could see he's an athlete.
I will say this about Tebow though: in college, he has to be down as a top. He was one of the top quarterbacks down there I'm talking about college.
Oh, yeah, two national championships to Florida.
College, yeah. I'm not saying the pros because he didn't make it. You know.
Well, we've all seen this. There's some guys that are known to be great college quarterbacks and just never do it to the pros. Look at Wentz.
Yeah.
Right. Cleveland could have picked him up with the number one pick. They didn't. He went down to Philly at number two. He comes in. He looks like no problem at all.
No problem at all. Like he's been there.
Exactly.
He's been there. Yeah.
I mean, that's unfortunately, I think you have like 3 million to 1 odds for the Cleveland Browns to go win the Super Bowl this year. You want to go to Vegas and put a $10 bill down?
Yeah.
You know,
I think Griffin got hurt today or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They arrested on Griffin
and they lost
29-10 today. So it's
going to be one of those years.
It's going to be one of those years for I can't see Cleveland winning one or two more games.
I mean, when was the last time Cleveland Browns were actually good when Bernie Kosar was over there or something like that?
Well,
they went
to the AFC Championships. Yeah. Was it consecutive years in Detroit and Denver beat them in consecutive years on the last play? You know, late minute drives by Elway.
That dog pound has been suffering for
the last many years. They haven't won since Otto Graham was the quarterback in the 60s with Jim Brown.
Yeah.
You know,
Brown
was it, you know. But you know, looking at this, I mean, there's some interesting scores today. Obviously, Green Bay had to sneak a win from Jacksonville. You know, Jacksonville, I saw some things on the red zone. They look pretty good. I think they've improved dramatically over the past couple of years. They're no pushovers anymore. Tampa Bay had a nice win over the Falcons today.
Tampa Bay is going to be. I think they're going to surprise somebody this year because. They got the receivers. That kid Evans is a stud. The quarterback is Jameson Winston. He looked fantastic today. He threw four touchdowns. They're gonna surprise some people.
They went
down into Atlanta, right? And they took business in Atlanta.
Yep.
And that doesn't happen too often in Atlanta.
Minnesota beat Tennessee 25-16. Obviously, they lost Teddy Bridgewater right before the season started. Picked up Sam Bradford, but he didn't play. Sean Hill played today, 18-33, 236.
Not bad.
No, not bad. It was and they won 25-16. But think about this.
I didn't think they were going to win.
I didn't think so either. But when you look, I'm looking at the stats right now. Mariota went 25-41, 271, two touchdowns, one interception. You look at those numbers, you say, okay, edge to Tennessee. But looking at Minnesota rushing, Adrian Peterson, 19 carries, 31 yards.
Yes, 31 yards.
He didn't do anything.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing today.
Very.
The Diggs guy had a big game, the receiver. But that was Hill. Hill, you know, they won. I guess the defense stepped it up and stopped them when they had to stop them.
Exactly.
When they get two field goals in the fourth quarter, they had two field goals in the whole second half. They did nothing. Like you said, look out for Tampa, though. Telling you, Tampa's going to surprise some people.
Yeah, Raiders.
Raiders came back.
Raiders with over 22 points in the fourth quarter to beat the Saints 35-34. I think Drew Brees threw for 423 yards and four touchdowns.
That's a fantasy game. That game is a fantasy. Plus, Carr had a big game too, didn't he? That's a fantasy guru. If you're feeling the fantasy team, you want those guys on your team.
You know, and I was sitting here before the show came on, and I said, oh gee, I have Indianapolis in my knockout pool, and of course, you tell me right before we go on the air, Detroit beat Indianapolis 39-35. Unbelievable. Luck went, typical Luck game here. 31-47, 385, four touchdowns.
Big game.
Big game.
No defense.
No defense.
Like, it's always been there. They have had that. That was going back when Peyton Manning was there. The defense was like shaky, so-so.
I mean, Stafford, again, also great numbers when you look at it. 31 for 39, 348, three touchdown passes.
You know, the Colts are home. That's the home opener. Luck was out all last year with the injury and everything. Comes back. You know, you got Frank Gore. You got these great speed receivers. You should have blew out the
Lions. Gore, 14 rushes, 59 yards. I mean, it doesn't. Didn't see, in most of these games, you didn't see a lot of rushing
the
numbers.
The Dolphin game, I in my knockout pool, I took Seattle. Okay, I was biting my nails on this one, too, because the Dolphins actually were leading this game at one point.
Were they really?
They came back. Seattle came back at the very end, and Wilson threw a touchdown to Doug Baldwin, like a two-yarder or something with, I don't know, maybe.
Oh, yeah, there it is, 12-10. Yeah. Wow.
That's a nail-biter. And you would think Seattle at home, right? Seattle at home, as good as they've been over the last couple of years with their defense, they would have blew out Miami. You know, it's tough. Miami's traveling all the way over to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle's at home open. That game should have been, you know, 28,
yeah, the other game that surprised me when I was looking at it at the end of the first half, the Chargers were up 21-3 on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs come back to tie the game up late and then get a touchdown in overtime to win 33-27.
That was a big one.
That was a huge one.
Especially Jamal Charles, the star running back, didn't play. And,
nope.
Alex Smith.
34 for 48, two touchdowns.
He had a big game.
Yeah,
he rushed that one in at the end.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That was an exciting game. That was a good game right there. And San Diego, you know, another team. You know, like, they got some talented. They got that kid they drafted last year, number one running back. And he had a couple touchdowns today.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Woodhead had a good game. The little Danny Woodhead still rolling along. The Jets had him. Jets had Woodhead.
Mm-hmm.
They let him go. And then what's his face picked him up? Belichick picked him up
and turned into a great
yeah.
Great
and now
player.
The kid's like a little, you know, the guy, what was he, 5'8", that guy? Just weaseling in.
Spark plug.
Boom, boom, boom. Yep. Yeah. But he's a tough cookie. I wish the Jets would have never got rid of him.
There's a lot of guys that the Jets should have never got rid of.
The Jets now. Here we go. The Jets had this is like I said earlier. The opportunity was Brady's not here. You know, you have to think the Patriots are going to Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Arizona is contention to go to the Super Bowl this year. All right. Without Brady, you would think the Cardinals should roll. What is it? What's the spread? 9.5 in this game? 8.5?
No, it's not that high. It's only like 3.5, I think.
Oh, is it that?
Yeah,
is it that?
It's not that high.
I thought it was.
Nope.
Okay. I thought it was a higher spread, but the because without Brady.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now this is the.
Oh no, you're right. I'm sorry. Take that back. You are right. It is 9.5. My bad. I'm thinking something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9.5. Over under 44.
So this is an opportunity for us to take a chance and move ahead. Buffalo lost.
Right.
You got to jump. Miami lost. New England's probably going to lose.
Could you imagine all four teams in the division go 0-1?
I can't believe it. This is where the Jets could have capitalized on this.
Yeah,
they had to win this
exactly.
game in Cincinnati today. It was a big game.
Now, how huge is that game now on Thursday?
Huge.
That they got to come back on, you know, on 3 days, you know, after the, you know, the unfortunate of not, you know, holding on to the win and then go out to Buffalo into Rex land and try to.
It was a big win.
Yeah.
You can't go down 0-2 in less than a week.
No.
Can't happen.
No, that's gonna it's really sad.
Especially Rex has kind of got their number. You got it. This is it. That's what happened last year. The last game of the season, they had to beat Buffalo to get into the playoffs and they lost. You have to win these games.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just looking at numbers here from the game. The big thing that you see from everything, AJ Green, 12 receptions, 180 yards. That's not a New York Jet defensive team.
No,
to allow
the secondary
had a
apart.
Real bad day.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you know, Fitzpatrick, what, you know, quarterback rating only 50. You know, both quarterback ratings when you look at it, Dalton's was only 54, Fitzpatrick's was 52. So they, I mean, really wasn't the quarterbacks that were doing the job. It was everybody else. I mean, Forte, again, 96 yards, 22 carries. That's exactly what you want out of him. Powell came in, had a couple of nice runs, four rushes,
yeah.
41 yards. So, you know, you were getting what you needed to get from your rushing game.
He's a nice change of pace, pal,
mm-hmm.
when he comes down.
You know, Brandon Marshall, it wasn't really a factor. Three catches, 32 yards. You know, that's...
Well, so, you know, Cincinnati has a good defense. They got a good team. It's a good team. But the Jets are home, and you have to win these games. This is one of the games that you have to win. So, there's no excuses. This team had to win this game. And that's what it was. I think what's his fork missed a couple of field extra points. That's what did it to him.
The one extra point was blocked.
Right. And then I think he missed one the first time in his career. He missed one right or something like that. So that's the 2 points right there. You would have ended up winning the game.
And he's been so, I mean, his whole entire Jet career, he's been money in the bank.
MVP in the last few years of this team with the clutch kicks that he's put up.
So
you have to give him a pass on this one this week.
I can't disagree with you on that. Yeah. But then going over to Dallas game again, Dak Prescott replacing Tony Romo out for at least, 8 weeks, they're saying, maybe? Yeah. 8 to 10 weeks.
He looked
good. I mean, not bad. 25 for 45, 227, no touchdowns, no sacks. So I think he did all right there. Ezekiel Elliott only had 20 rushes, 51 yards. So they did, again, the Giant defense, which is obviously a big improvement for all the money they spent. You expected them to be a lot better than they were last year, and it seemed to show that. Eli Manning had a decent outing. 19 for 28, 207 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Beckham was a part of it. Victor Cruz had 4 catches and a touchdown.
Yeah,
did he do his dance?
Yeah, he did his little
dance.
Yes.
Oh, the dance is back.
He did his little dance. But you know what though? I missed the very end of this game. You were telling me a little about it.
I didn't see it. I only know about what happened, but
it was this kid. Now Dallas has a great offensive line. Prescott, this kid moves around. He kind of reminds me a little of Russell Wilson back there. He was hitting everything. He was running around a little bit, pinpointing his targets. He had a touchdown to Dez, but Dez bobbled the ball as he was going down in the first half, and they called it back. Thank God. But I'm glad the Giants won. That was a good game. That's a tough game going into Dallas on opening day and beating Dallas. Even if you got two. They started 2 running backs for the first time.
Exactly. You as a Giant fan, you just got to say, whew, and move on.
Move on. You got that one in the win column. Let's go. So who else? Dallas lost. Who else is in that division?
Philadelphia, again, they won 29-10 over Cleveland. You said
that's a big win.
A big win. Wentz did not look like a rookie playing his first game. He looks like a seasoned veteran. I know I saw one of his passes on the red zone that he just sat with guys bouncing around him and threw a beautiful pass to the corner of the end zone. Nobody could touch it. Just amazing. Obviously, Washington plays, I think, tomorrow.
Tomorrow night they play Pittsburgh, right?
They play Pittsburgh, yeah.
That should be a good game.
Exactly.
So there's two Monday night games tomorrow, right?
Right. Pittsburgh, Washington, and then the 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams
first
return.
They're not
home. They're in San Francisco.
That's a stinker.
Not only a stinker, but obviously we're not going to talk about all the other stuff.
No, because it's very disrespectful. In my opinion. I was in the military.
Exactly.
Cop. All this other stuff, a little disrespectful. No. But you know what, people, look, it's freedom of speech. You're allowed to do what you want these days.
Exactly. So. But that's where we'll leave it. But again, the Los Angeles Rams returning.
That's
after
amazing.
All these years. I figured after at some point, some franchise either had to move or do something, but it took all that time.
With Kurt Warner and they had Marshall Faulk, they were going Super Bowl and this and that, and now your team just packs up. It's it's crazy.
That's not only the first time; it's the second
time.
They
went there for money. That's the second time. Is right. You're 100% right.
Georgia Farniere moved the team from LA to St. Louis because she's from Missouri and she wanted, and it was a deal that was going to get her some money.
Yeah.
So she moved the team. And, for all those years that L.A. didn't have a team, I know, like the sports stations or whatever, they would adopt the team for the year. I know a couple of years ago they adopted the Jets.
Yeah.
So in L.A., all the Jet games were on radio in L.A. So it's like, they adopted that team. They adopted another team another year, whatever. But to go all those years without a pro franchise, and now they get their, if you want to call them beloved, but you get their Rams back. And people are saying, It may happen, it may not happen, but if the deal doesn't go down in San Diego, the team could come from San Diego up to L.A. too.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You can have two in L.A. And can they, obviously, with that area, they should be able to handle two teams. I mean, they handle two baseball teams, they handle two hockey teams, two basketball teams.
I just feel bad for the St. Louis, fans, because you just lost your team. And now if San Diego... That's going to be tough on them too. They've been down there a long time, but they just not.
Well, they were an original AFL franchise.
Yeah.
So it's going back to 1962.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Fouching them. Going back to the Eric Dickerson days, back with the old Rams.
Well, I'm thinking of the John Hadel days. That's before you were born, pal. Yeah. So.
It's going to be exciting, especially when they have their first home game. The Rams. It's going to be exciting.
Back at the LA Coliseum for the next 2 years until they get their new stadium built.
It's gonna be exciting.
They want to get it done quick, so I think
they'll sell it. That thing's probably sold out for who knows how long.
Oh, then yeah. Well, I don't think the LA Coliseum. Oh, no. Have you ever been to the LA Coliseum? Mm-hmm. It's not. It's not. It's not a pleasant place. It's not a pleasant area either of LA. Yeah. So it's, you know. I don't think it'll be full because I still don't think they're embracing the Rams yet. I think they'll wait till they get the new place.
Well, Oakland didn't Oakland do the same thing? They came down, they went to LA, then they went back up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone keeps bouncing.
Well, that was Al Davis. Al Davis just wasn't happy with anything.
Right.
Exactly. But obviously, you know, the NFL season started Thursday with Denver with the last minute.
That was a shocker to me.
I mean, the poor kicker for Carolina kicks the field goal, bounces off the post and in, but they had called timeout before.
They iced him.
They iced him, and then the other one, he shanked it so far left, it was ridiculous. But we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to come back. We'll continue the sports of the weekend, and then, again, coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll have Doug Waite joining us and Jigs McDonald at 9:30. You're listening to John Sweeney and Gary Harding, Sports Talk 1240. We'll be right back.
Listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your Gust Buster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And back to Sports Talk 1240, Sunday, September 11, 2016. Gary and John with you for the next 90 minutes. If you want to give a call to the show in the next coming half hour, you are more than welcome to do so. The number here you can reach us is 631-888-8811. That's 631-888-8811. If you want to send us a little, either a tweet or what have you, I am at GHardingWGBB and John is Alicat010. That's another way to get in touch with us here. We're gonna talk Islanders in the second hour, so we'll wait for most of that to happen. But we actually talked a lot of hockey last month when we were broadcasting live.
Oh, yeah,
from the end of the NHL Booster Club convention at the Hyatt Regency Long Island in Hopog last month. That was a lot of fun. Our first live broadcast. Outside the studio,
I thought it was fantastic. I thought you guys did a great job.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
It was a little setting it up beforehand. I know you guys were under a little stress because it's a lot of work. You and Claire did.
You guys did a fantastic
job with that convention. Fantastic. People still talking about it.
Yeah, they are.
Good job.
It was good. It was a lot of fun. It was a labor of love for the past 2 years, and we're still dotting I's and crossing the final T's. You know, we got a few bills to pay, and as a result of the conventions, they always tend to have a little. You still have a little money in the bank, and we're gonna do something for the people that have worked the convention, and we're gonna send some money out to charity, which is always a good thing.
Which is really good.
Yeah, I've got a couple of good ones in mind that I want to send some money out to, but. You know, it was a lot of fun. Actually, Believe it or not, the American Hockey League just had their Booster Club convention actually this past weekend. They always do it the weekend after Labor Day. So it's 1 month after ours, and it was up actually. It was run by, it used to be the Springfield Falcons team, but they changed names now. I forget what they are now because the franchise that owned Springfield moved to the West because, you know, obviously now all the AHL Western Conference franchises are out in California in the West now. But it was run by Springfield, and it was run at, it was actually up in Hartford, Connecticut. They ran it. If you're familiar with Bradley Airport, it's right outside Hartford. They had it right out there. And again, similar makeup to how they do ours, but it's only like 4 days as opposed to a whole week. Next year, it's actually in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, so I actually
That's right there.
Yeah, I might do a double
five duty. Five minutes off the ferry for us from Port Jefferson.
I don't know where they're having the actual hotel and the convention, right, whatever. They're actually... the woman that runs the Sound Tigers Booster Club is actually contacting me this week to talk about stuff and how to run it and how to help run it and things like that. But next year, our convention's in Los Angeles. So
that's going to be exciting, right?
It'll be fun, yeah.
That's the 50-year anniversary to the L.A. Kings, right?
That is correct. Yep.
50-year anniversary.
50 years
for
the Kings, the Flyers, the Penguins.
That's amazing.
The Blues. And it would have been, obviously, the North Stars, which is now in Dallas, and the...
Right.
The Golden Seals, which is nowhere.
Right,
nowhere. You know, you could ask Brad Kurtzberg about nowhere, but you know, he'll tell you. But
who took over the Golden Seals?
Well, actually, they went to Cleveland, and then they actually split up. They went to Minnesota and somewhere else. They split the franchise up. I can't remember what happened. Part of it went to Minnesota, and part of it went somewhere else, and then obviously Minnesota went to Dallas. And so it's a whole mishmash. But,
right.
But, I mean, if you ever look up the history of the Golden Seals, our good buddy Brad Kurtzberg, who's been on our show a number of times, wrote a book on the history of the team. And if you really want to learn about how wacky a hockey franchise can be, that's the one you got to go to. Because remember who owned the California Golden Seals? Charlie Finley.
That's right.
Charlie Finley owned the team.
I remember that.
And Charlie Finley was always, obviously, if we know, was the old former owner of the
Oakland A's.
Lot of innovative things. Yeah. Obviously, you know, everybody remembers the mustaches. Everybody remembers all the different colored jerseys, all the other, you know, the fancy things that they did. But the biggest thing that he really wanted them to do with their uniforms, he thought the skates should be white. So, obviously, you weren't going to wear figure skates on a hockey rink. So, they actually... The trainers and the athletic guys actually took their skates and actually had them painted white before every game. And they said by the end of the year, their skates were like cement blocks because they would probably have like a pound of paint on them.
Oh, yeah.
So they said they were...
I'm thinking about it now. When he was with the Oakland A's had the same thing. I think they had white shoes.
They had white shoes.
Yeah.
And it was against league policy at the time.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to do it, but he was defiant and said, you know, fine me. You know, he didn't care.
No.
You know, but they always try to do different things, and obviously they never. I don't think they ever made the playoffs. I have to look that up, Brad. If you're listening, call me. I don't know if they ever made the playoffs, but I know they were always the low team in the league. They were the laughable losers. I remember going to the Garden in 1969. Now remember, this is before the Islanders were around. I was 6 years old. My dad would get tickets. My dad was a city cop. He'd always get tickets, and you know those Sunday. They always had those Sunday night at 6:30 games. So he would take me to Sunday night at the Garden. We'd sit up on the top of the blue section somewhere in the 400s, and I remember going to see them play the California Golden Seals. I think the Rangers won like 10-0. They were always losing like 12-1. You know, 11-3.
Yeah.
You know, they were a sad sack bunch. They had a lot of fun, from what I've heard. There's a lot of pretty raunchy, ridiculous, crazy, slapshot-like stories, you know, of them on the road and stuff. But, you know, they were the laughable losers, you know. And, you know, L.A. was always beating them pretty badly, you know, the two California franchises going at each other. And we can actually, you know, actually that's a good question. We'll bring up the Jigs when he's on at 9:30. Because remember, he was the original voice of the L.A. Kings 50 years ago in 1967.
Yeah.
So he could talk a little. I mean, he's, you know. When he was our guest speaker at convention, he told some stories about his first year with the L.A. Kings and how they had trouble, you know, finding equipment, finding ice time, and Jack Kent Cook, who was just as kooky a person as Finley was, as the owner of the LA Kings. There's a bunch of stories there too, so we can probably
Jiggs is full of stories.
Jiggs,
I actually drove Jiggs to the airport after when he had to go back up to Canada, the last day of the convention, the second to last day
right.
of the convention, and he told me some fantastic stories that we'll try to bring up here.
Yeah, here.
He's a great guy. One of the aces, the perfect gentleman.
Again, everything that you, everything, and again, you know, Jiggs has always been a friend of mine for well over 20 years. And again, when John and I first started Sports Talk 1240 careers 3 years ago, he had to be our first guest. There was no question in my mind. And, you know,
John Panarese.
Yeah, John Panarese.
Who's missed dearly because he's in, I feel my heart bleeds for him because he's in Hawaii right now. Like, I'm really upset that he's not here.
Well, you know, it's only 2:40 in the afternoon in Hawaii right now, so hopefully he's, you know, sitting
the
on the beach, you know, with a Mai Tai. And
I feel like I've been down this story before, the same scenario with John and Hawaii in the beach. I think we were talking about it like last year or something. I think he goes every year, right?
Well, I think he went to the Caribbean. He's been on cruises too.
He's got it made.
I know. I go to Connecticut. He goes on a cruise.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference in our lives here? You know.
Yeah. Exactly. But getting back to Jiggs, like you were saying, it's going to be very interesting with Jiggs. And he was a pure gentleman, like you said. You were talking about the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good guy, Jiggs, number one.
So we talked earlier, we'll just switch gears and go back to baseball. We talked earlier about the National League wild card standings, and obviously we know it's a three-team race for two spots with Miami, Pittsburgh, and Colorado now a faded memory. But now you have to look at the American League standings. Obviously, the Yankees lost today. So their seven-game winning streak came to an end today to the Tampa Bay Rays. But looking at that right now, obviously Toronto and Baltimore tied for the two wild card standings, dead heat at 78 and 64. Boston is in first place. The Tigers and the Yankees both at 76 and 66, two games out. If you would have told me on August 1st that the Yankees would be 10 games over 500 right now, I would have thought you were drunk. I mean, we said it before. They got rid of guys. They brought the youth in. You know, something that for growing up a baseball fan for 50-plus years of my life, I never thought I would ever see the day that the Yankees would be dominated by kids.
Yeah.
And the kids are doing the job.
The kid Judge Austin, like I said, we talked about before, the kid Sanchez. But this is the amazing thing to me. The Yankees, which I thought their season was over, when they started getting rid of everybody, I figured they were just, you know, cutting salary, A-Rod's gone, they were just trading guys away, this and that. They traded Chapman away, they got rid of guys. They had two games out of a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And they're three games out of first.
That's amazing.
Four games out of first. I mean, you know, it's funny, listening to Craig Boomer and Craig in the morning, they made a bet with Craig, and Craig's a Met fan, but he jumps the Yankee bandwagon just to tick him off. Yeah, I think he does it really to tick him off. I know that for a fact. But he made a big bet with Boomer that if the Yankees ever touched first place for even a minute, you know, before the end of the season, he'd win like $5,000 or something along those lines. You know, some ridiculous amount of money, but. But, I mean, you got to look at – it's just amazing that, you know, Yankees, the Orioles, the Blue – I mean, they're all four games out, and they all got to play each other all the way through.
Yeah, they're going to be beating each other up the rest of the
way.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, looking – you know, obviously Detroit's, you know, in the Central Division, seven games behind the Cleveland Indians. Again, Cleveland sports, if it wasn't for football, you'd be doing great. I mean,
yeah.
Your basketball team won. Your hockey team won the AHL championship.
Yeah.
Your baseball team's in first place. And then there's the Browns.
this was a shocker too that Cleveland ended up is running away with the division. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, you look, you know, what is it like? Three weeks left of the season.
3 weeks left.
Yeah, yeah. And they're seven games up. That's huge.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, one expected them to have an 84-game win. You know, they're on pace for 96 wins.
You think Kansas City would have ran away with that again? Like,
exactly.
They won the World Series last year, but. They're
missing a couple of pitchers. Some of their hitting has not been as robust as it was
down
the stretch.
They are missing pitchers, but so are we. And we're winning. And the Mets are winning. That's why our depth is deeper. You know, look at us. That's, you know, you say, hey, Harvey's gone.
Gone. Yeah, but truthfully, they're not much better than, you know, the Mets are nine games over 500. The Kansas City Royals are six. So they're not much better, but,
right.
But they're on. They momentum is on their side right
and
now.
Texas is running away with that.
Texas 9-game lead over the Astros. That's the Astros still got a chance for the wild card. They're hanging in there with the Yankees. They're 4 back. So
the biggest one of all is Chicago. Chicago is just that's over. They're going to put that little X next to the Cubs.
Well, they're 15 and a half. So
the lock of the playoffs.
So there's 21 games left. So I think their wild card the magic number's down to 5.
Yeah.
They by middle of next week they're going to win the division.
They're going to lock that up. And then the other they're out in the West, Dodgers, San Fran, that's up in the grabs too. 3 games. Between the Dodgers are up by 3 on San Fran.
Well,
which I thought San Fran was going to.
I normally don't root for the Dodgers, but I am going to root for the fact that I want to know that Mr. Vincent Scully is getting to broadcast a few more games.
Yeah.
You know,
Class act.
It was if you check out YouTube, there was an interview that Cal Ripken did for TBS. He actually did a 10-minute interview with Vince Scully, and it was probably one of the nicest interviews around. And every time I find that if I'm, up at late at night, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I turn on the MLB Network and they do those live look-ins, and if it's a Dodger game at Dodger Stadium, I am not changing the channel because Vin's on there. And you know what? And I can honestly say, there are some guys that work, that work alone in a booth, and they need material. But, 67 years doing it, he's still not only is he
that
on
is amazing
top, on top of his game and sharp,
right?
But I mean, I know he's physically not doing it, but I know people are tweeting for him and doing stuff for him. But he makes everything relevant. It's like
to call such a smooth game. He's a classic. Yeah.
And
66. Can you believe that's a lifetime for people?
And both of us, and we are definitely victims of the fact that sometimes we say words like and or and if or whatever, those types of things, but he doesn't miss a beat, and that's the part that amazes me. You see other guys, Ernie Harwell was the same way with the Tigers when he was at the end of his career. I obviously kind of had the Bell's palsy and all that, but even at 89 years old when he was doing a couple of innings. And at the end, actually, he was better than he was, when they first diagnosed him. He's still relevant. He still, was in touch with the players and understood the player of today.
Yeah.
Sometimes, some of these announcers, they get away from it. Bob Uecker's another example. I love whenever I'm flipping the dial on Sirius XM and the Milwaukee's got a home game, and he's doing the home game. Again, he does it on it almost 85% to 90% of the game on his own too.
Yeah,
there's very little interaction with anybody.
He's got great stories too.
He's got great stories, and again, he paints the picture. He's a great radio announcer is. He's got not only do you have to play by play, but you have to paint the picture. TV, it's obviously with Vin, it's easier. But again, he came out of radio, so he does all that, even though he doesn't have to. But that's to me, I'd rather sometimes listen to a game on a radio, whether it's baseball, hockey, football. I'd rather listen than watch it.
I agree with
especially
you.
Especially when you have a great announcer that paints the picture.
I want to tell you a quick story about Jigs. We were driving in the car, and I went to Jigs, and I said, you are by far, you call a fantastic hockey game, which I think, me personally, is one of the hardest sports to call because it's such a fast action, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And Jigs says, I disagree with you 100%. He goes, I think the hardest sport to call is baseball. Because, and I was like, really? I said, well, explain that to me why. I said, because hockey with the numbers. He goes, well, once you know the players on the team, you could say, oh, there's nine, there's Tavares in the corner. But baseball, you have pausing between the pitches, ball. You have to have stories to tell of each person at bat or the pitcher. You can't have open air on the mic, so you have to keep constantly know what's going on. You have to do your homework and know everything. There's so much knowledge you have to know about each player. It's so much harder to call a baseball
game. You know what was funny too, probably about a month ago, I think MLB was a Friday night game of the week. It was, I can't remember who they were playing, but it was Pittsburgh. They were playing at the new park, PNC Park, and it was Bob Costas and Mike Emmerich, because I don't know if you're familiar with it. Mike Emmerich is a lifelong Pirate fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Grew up in Michigan or whatever, but listening to radio. He said he listened to Bob Prince, and you know, Bob Prince was a pirate announcer from the, I think, from the 40s on to the 80s. So, you know, he was the voice of Pittsburgh for years. And KDKA, the station that they broadcasted on, was one of those stations that you could hear from, like, New York to, like, Kansas. You know, it was a strong station, and it was one of those, it was, I don't know what they call that, but it was the only station on that certain frequency, so it carried all over the place. So somehow he grew up a pirate fan. And he got to actually call for his first time ever at the age of, I think he's in his late 60s, call play-by-play with Bob Costas of a pirate game. And it was really interesting to see the difference in how he broadcasted a baseball game as opposed to a hockey game. And obviously, Emmerich would put stories in, obviously, between face-offs and things like that, but he had to do that a lot more in between. And he said afterwards that he quickly learned that you have to put more things in, you know, obviously looking at the batter, you know, if he's, you know, like Cespedes, when he takes the bat and he slams it against his feet after every at bat, or like how Nomar and Jeter used to, you know, do their
wristbands
and batting gloves and all that stuff. So he said you had to take that extra moment and look at what's going on around you and to fill that in. And he said it was very different than and I guess I can see that. And I think how I appreciated that more is, again, watching Chris King. When I watched the first big strike, which was what, 2004, the NHL strike, 2005? Yeah, that's when we were out the whole year. Chris was doing he was doing play-by-play for Bridgeport during the strike. And a couple of days, I was writing for New York Sports Day at the time, and I would go on the ferry to do the Sunday afternoon games. And, you know, Chris and I have known each other a long time. So I'm sitting with him on the, you know, in one of the seats on the ferry, and he's got 4x6 cards all over the place, and he's got them stretched all over the table, and you know, it's either a player on the Sound Tiger team or the opposing team, and he's got all these little things on. And I was like, Chris, I said, do you expect to go through this in the whole game? He goes about 80% of it, and it's like a little story. So if he knew that, you know, a certain player was going on, he had on that card, he'd pull the card and say, would say, you know, third round draft pick from the Guelph Storm and had 50 goals and, you know, and 8 and 42 assists in 1998 for the Guelph Storm, and they did this and did that and whatever.
He did his homework. He's a fantastic
announcer. But that's what I'm saying. But to do that's the difference to me, I think, between radio and TV, is that you have to have all that at your disposal. You know, the TV, obviously, we know when you're at a game and when you're working in the press box, you get all the papers, you get all the notes, you get all that other stuff. But I think when you're doing the play-by-play on the radio, you're more intent to look at your own stuff and have everything ready. And that's, again, that's what Chris King brought. And that's why we didn't talk about the fact that obviously he didn't get the job for the TV position. And, you know, as much as I think it would have been great for him, I think you would have lost a little bit of what Chris King is. I think to be the difference between being a TV broadcaster and a radio broadcaster, having that passion that Chris has on the radio, I think doesn't compute on the television side of the world. And that's the unfortunate part, I think. And I think maybe he may have learned that lesson by him not being selected. And I think also Steve Mears was also one of the finalists too, which would have been a possible nice thing, because he's done some TV before, you know, obviously doing the World Juniors, and he's done some other stuff. So,
well, I mean, like, you know, like also with Chris, going back to Chris, Chris is a lifelong Islander fan, you know.
Exactly.
It's just tough. That's tough. I was rooting for him.
Yeah, I kind of was too, but again,
because you want somebody.
When you got to talk to Jigs on the way back to the airport, I talked to him when I picked him up at the airport going back, and that's what we were having a conversation on. And Jigs said, although Chris did a very good job, and he was one of the people that was helping to critique all the people that were in the finals and stuff, he said the new kid just was head and shoulders a little better on TV, and he's had the TV experience, because he also was a backup guy, I believe, in St. Louis for a couple of years, too.
That's exactly
he's done,
what it was,
he's done the Blues. So
I think he grew up in Jersey, I think, right?
Yeah, he's a Jersey kid.
So he's probably a Devils fan. Here we go.
No, I think his father's a Rangers fan.
Oh, God. Here we
yeah,
go.
Well,
don't even say
that'll,
that word.
That'll change.
That's not, well,
that'll change.
Yeah. That will change. Let's hope.
Exactly. But, you know, we said 3 weeks till the end of the season, so there's a lot of things that can go on here, and it's gonna be very exciting. Obviously, shortly the New England Arizona game. Actually, the game should be underway. I think it started at 8:30, right?
Yeah.
So
the game should be on. But just, you know, talk about the AL with the Yankees.
Actually, Patriots are up 7-0. By the way.
Oh boy.
Yep. Early start.
The Yankees at 7-3 in the last 10, and look at this. Toronto is 3-7 in the last 10.
Yeah.
They've fallen. Baltimore 6-4, but Boston's probably going to win that division. I mean, even though, I mean, up by two, but you never know. Like I said, 3 weeks, anything can happen. They've been running Baltimore. It was them in Baltimore. Toronto was up for a little bit. This turned into an exciting race right here, this division.
And
when you think about the way the Yankees, like you said, we said before, but the way they were.
And in April, we would have never believed that.
Never. No.
I thought the AL East was probably the weakest division in the major leagues.
Yeah.
And they are probably the most exciting division right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Washington's walking away. You know, I mean, there is a very slim hope, but I seriously doubt it. I mean, the advantages to the Mets because of the fact of the schedule. But again, I think Washington's playing, you know, Atlanta and Florida, too. So it's not much better. But, you know, you got to be concerned.
They're winnable.
Right.
The Mets could beat them. They aren't. I mean, look, they spent a lot of money, Washington. They got a good team. They have a lot of good players on that team. I'll tell you what, the Mets could beat them in the playoffs if they had a wild card playoff game. The Mets could beat them.
Well, they'd have to, the only way they would play them is if they get to the finals.
Yeah, to the finals, right?
NLCS, but you have to be.
They would play the Mets. The wild card they would play Chicago and who else? The two wild cards would play who?
The winner of the two wild cards would play Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
They would play better. I don't think you can play somebody in your own division in the first round, so yeah. they would have to maneuver that. But okay. Yeah, Chicago is going to be the number one team, obviously by far. Right? I mean, they're 91 wins already.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're on pace for 105, 106, if they keep going.
Incredible. It's incredible. But the Mets are 7-3. Washington 7-3 in the last 10. So the Mets are like I said, the last month, I guess, they're probably the best team in baseball in the last month. And if you want to look at their pitching staff, somebody's like we still talked about earlier, some of these guys on there, you couldn't even be like, who's this guy? Who's that guy? You wouldn't even know these guys in the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If they, you know. Like you said, Cologne winning 14 games. It's insane.
Here's a trivia question for you. Let's see how much of your American history you know.
American history?
American history. Well, it has something to do with baseball.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. The Cubs won the World Series in 1908.
Right.
Who was the president of the United States?
In 1908.
The last time the Cubs won the World Series.
1908, the last time they won Wilson. I don't know.
Well, the hint will give it away.
Wilson? No.
No. He summered on Long Island.
He summered? Oh. We're talking about Roosevelt?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt was the president of the United States. And the Cubs won the World Series in 1907 and 1908. Amazing.
Yeah, should have known that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's 108 years.
That's insane. They are due. Not this year. Not this year.
Because
I think this year, I really deeply down inside, the way the Mets are playing, I think they have a good shot of making a run. They could go back there again. Back to back.
It would be quite interesting.
Yeah, it would be quite interesting. Let's see how it plays out the last 3 weeks and see. And we'll be talking about this next month.
We will be talking about it next month. We'll be talking about it while they're on a playoff game, right?
Yes.
But we're going to take a break in a few minutes. And when we do, we hope to have Doug Waite, the assistant general manager and associate coach of the New York Islanders, join us to give us a little preview of training camp now because with Jack Capuano working for Team USA at the World Cup of Hockey, Doug's running the show.
That's right.
So he's got to run the drills, and I think camp starts on Wednesday.
Wednesday,
I think they report for physicals. Thursday, the first day of camp. On the 21st, I believe, is the preseason opener, which is the kids' game, Islanders and Flyers at the Northwell rink in East Meadow. $20 donation gets you in. So definitely Islander fans, if you're there, we'll hope to see you on the 21st. But when we're going to come back, Doug Waite will be joining us on Sports Talk 1240. Please come back.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.